Welcome to The River Trip, a monthly program here on KSJD. I'm your trip leader, Leanne Hill. I'm the program coordinator for Dolores River Boating Advocates, a local group of whitewater boaters who are committed to protecting the unique recreation and conservation values of the Dolores River. You can learn more about us on our website at www.dolorisriverboating.org. Today, we'll be talking about the Lower Dolores River Implementation Monitoring and Evaluation Plan. And my guests today are members of the implementation team that has been developing this plan. Matt Clark is Colorado Trout Unlimited's backcountry coordinator for the southwest corner of the state. He's a lifelong resident of the area and has a deep commitment to finding common ground and workable solutions for the complex land and water issues that we face. And Nathan Fay is also joining us. He's the Colorado Stewardship Director for American Whitewater. He's been paddling the West since 1990 and focusing on collaborative river conservation and watershed protections. Welcome, gentlemen. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Leanne.
Both of you have
Hi,
been...
Leanne.
Hi, Nathan. Thanks for joining us. Both of you have been very involved in the ongoing efforts on the Dolores River Dialogue, and one of the outcomes of the dialogue is the Lower Dolores River Implementation Monitoring and Evaluation Plan, or we'll call it the Implementation Plan for short. Matt, can you please give us a little background on the plan? Why was the plan needed, and how was it developed?
Well, I guess taking us back to sort of the genesis of the whole thing, it's an outgrowth of the Dolores River Dialogue, which is a very broad stakeholder group that is designed to find management solutions for the Lower Dolores River that work for the whole community and protect existing water rights while trying to ensure the survival of native fish and also the continued recreational uses like the downstream trout fishery and recreational boating. That group created the Lower Dolores Plan Working Group, and I'm a little fuzzy on the dates, but if people need more, they can find it on the website, which we'll get to later. But they created the Lower Dolores Plan Working Group to specifically address the Lower Dolores River Corridor Management Plan, a planning process that the BLM was needing to undertake at that time. And then one of their outcomes was to pursue legislation, national conservation area legislation, as a way to address management down there that would be able to incorporate all of the community's needs and be basically a custom-tailored solution for a management plan. So the legislative subcommittee of the Lower Dolores Plan Working Group, they hired three independent fishery scientists, and they pulled together all of the science and data and information they could about native fish in the Lower Dolores and created a report called the A Way Forward Report. That report basically summarized all of the existing science and then made recommendations for ways to move forward to benefit the native fish. Those three scientists were independent. They all made individual recommendations, sort of blind test, and then came together and collated and discussed all the recommendations for the final report. So out of that process came the implementation team, which is sort of a subset of all those other planning groups. And then that team came up with the implementation plan using the recommendations from the A Way Forward report. And if anyone needs to clarify all that, which you probably do, we'll give you a website at the end of the discussion that you can go look at to see organizational charts and histories and other all kinds of documents.
I'm impressed. You just summed up about 6 or 7 years worth of work succinctly. Thank you very much. Nathan, can you give us a little detail about the needs that are addressed in the plan and how the plan is really taking all of that information forward?
Sure. Hopefully I can be as succinct as Matt. What a rock star. The intent of the plan is really to address the needs of native fish and whitewater boating on the Lower Dolores. And both of those are, flow-dependent needs below the dam. And, you know, like Matt said, in 2007, when the Lower Dolores Working Group started, it was in response to a potential wild and scenic suitability determination coming out of the Public Lands Office. And the Public Lands Office looked to the DRD to perhaps develop a local alternative to suitability, so that we can keep control of water resources, you know, in the local stakeholder process, and continue those conversations through the DRD. So the two needs that were outstanding and could not be addressed with the had difficulty being addressed with the NCA legislation were those flow-dependent fishery and boating needs. And what we have, I think, successfully done in the implementation plan to date is find out how the needs of fish and boating are compatible and how we can operate McPhee Reservoir when there's sufficient water supply, you know, so that we can start to improve fish populations and provide higher quality whitewater boating opportunities below the dam.
Wow, that's great. And I believe that American Whitewater was involved with some of the studies that really point out that compatibility with native fish flows and boating and recreation flows. Do you want to just mention a little bit on that, Nathan, as it fit into this process?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, one of the, you know, what's really important when we're having conversations about sharing our water, our needs, or meeting those needs, is to have a clearly defined set of what those needs are. So for whitewater boating, you know, we have adapted our 30-year history of working with FERC, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, on reoperating dams. And there is several different approaches that we can take to define the needs of whitewater boating. And it's I think any boater understands that there's a point at which the river is too low, and there's sometimes points where it's too high, and there's a range of flows within those two points that we can kind of drill down into and describe and define a number of days within that flow range that we want to manage to ensure that boating is being protected or improved in some scenarios.
Great. Okay. There's definitely a lot involved here, and we need to take a station break. We'll be back to discuss this further in just a couple minutes. You're listening to The River Trip on KSJD. Welcome back to The River Trip, a monthly show on KSJD where we focus on the Dolores River. We are talking with Matt Clark of Colorado Trout Unlimited and Nathan Fay of American Whitewater about the Lower Dolores River Implementation, Monitoring, and Evaluation Plan. And we've been talking about some of the needs that have been addressed in the plan. Matt, can you tell us a little bit about how consumptive needs have been addressed?
Sure, Leanne. I guess to start with, from the very beginning, of course, the whole premise of the DRD was to try to find ways to improve recreation and native fishery needs on the Lower Dolores while protecting existing water rights, you know, compacts, the conditions and contracts that the dam is operated under, things like that. So all of this has always been backgrounded by the, you know, the need to protect water supplies for agriculture and municipal use. And through the planning effort, the groups that have been involved have made sure that the mission has stayed true to that. I'll just run through them real quick. The Dolores Water Conservancy District, MVIC, the Montezuma Valley Irrigation District, Bureau of Reclamation, who operates the dam, Bureau of Land Management, U.S. Forest Service, Colorado Parks and Wildlife, and then American Whitewater, the Nature Conservancy, San Juan Citizens Alliance, and Trout Unlimited. So there's been a very broad cross-section of the community involved in that, representing all kinds of, you know, every aspect of water use. And in the implementation plan, all of the hypotheses, the ideas that we're going to be testing and trying out, because it is an adaptive management plan, are always fit within the constraints of the way the reservoir and the dam is operated. So, of course, with variable hydrology we have here, any given year we may not have a spill, as we've seen lately. So we cannot try things that are related to, you know, related to spill years, like flushing flows, anything that has to do with managing the releases. Of course, the water is allocated, so we can't do those things unless there's an opportunity. So essentially, I guess that's the best way to sum it up, is all the way through that those needs have been addressed, those people have been at the table, and that constraint is sort of surrounding all the activities that we can undertake.
Wow, that's a great collaborative effort, and I think effort is a key word here. So explain to us, Nathan, how does the implementation plan interplay then with management of McPhee Dam? I mean, we're touching on it, but how exactly will that work?
Well, I guess the best way to answer that, Leanne, is to just say that, you know, with reclamation at the table and DWCD and MVIC, the plan doesn't do anything to jeopardize their operations. The focus is really on the obligations under the project to the downstream fishery and to whitewater boating, and the development of new guidelines for managing surplus water, so that additional water that can't be stored in McPhee. And the guidelines have reframed the timing, the magnitude, and the duration of releases from McPhee that are used in advance of a spill or in advance of potential topping of the dam. So in the past, we've seen a flow level of 800 CFS as the target for whitewater boating. And based on the studies that we had just touched on a couple minutes ago, we've been able to adjust those guidelines to move past a flat 800 CFS flow for the downstream release and then restore what really looks more like a natural hydrograph. So appropriate rates of increase on the front end of a spring spill, and that helps adjust temperatures that can trigger inappropriate times for spawning of native fish. We're correcting that with keeping temperatures cool until we get through the peak of the spring runoff. And when we have enough water, we're timing the peak so it's accomplishing these spawning cues for fish and also providing really great high-quality whitewater boating opportunities above that 800 CFS threshold. And then, you know, on the back end of the hydrograph, we're also accomplishing some really important riparian vegetation cues as well in appropriate rates of recession.
So this is an exciting opportunity and development for how McPhee will be managed. How can folks learn more? Well, let me back up and just ask, what are the next steps now with the implementation plan? And Matt, do you want to go ahead and address that?
Sure. We're currently integrating the last few comments that are coming in on the 2014 draft or version of the plan. And when I say version of the plan, the plan is designed to be an adaptive management document. So while the plan won't be rewritten in its entirety every year, certainly every year as studies and information comes in, such as the continuous temperature monitoring that's going on down there, or new fish studies or new results from experiments in flows, such as the ones that Nathan was just mentioning, especially if, you know, of course, we have a release year, then that information will get fed back into the plan and those hypotheses continue to evolve and the methods tested and then implemented differently in the year to come if necessary. So we're currently taking comments, the last few comments from the community. We've been doing that basically all year long, and the plan has been evolving since the first draft came out last year. And from there, once we get the last sign-offs from all the local water boards and all the organizations part of the drafting, then that plan will be released. It'll be on the DRD website, and it'll go then into the management actions, you know, doing what we can on a year-by-year basis as the flows allow. And some of those things, like I just mentioned, are going to be ongoing every year no matter what, like temperature and other monitoring experiments and, of course, fish monitoring down there.
And so the implementation team will continue to be involved through this adaptive management process. Is mm-hmm. that right? Okay. Well, let's talk about a few opportunities to learn more. Again, it's obviously a lot of information, and I think folks would be really interested in staying tuned into this. How can they learn more about the Dolores River Dialogue and the plan. Matt, do you have...
Well, the easiest way is to go to the DRD website, which is housed by Fort Lewis. The address is http://ocs.fortlewis.edu/DRD. And if you go to the DRD website, the easiest way is just to Google, you know, Fort Lewis College, Dolores River Dialogue in one search string, and it'll take you there. And there is more than you probably want to read about this process, the history, and more pertinently, perhaps, is the new implementation team draft will be up there as soon as it's released. The existing draft is there right now.
Okay, great. And I think a McPhee operate. Well, in fact, I know that a McPhee operations meeting is on the books now for Tuesday, May 6th at 6:30 p.m. at the Dolores Community Center. There will be a panel discussion, so people can hear more about all of these different components of the plan and ask questions. And it should be just another great opportunity to learn more. And then the Dolores River Dialogue. We'll be planning a public meeting, I think, in late May or June, so more details to come on that. We'll post all of that on our website at www.dolorisriverboating.org. And I would really like to thank my guests, Matt Clark and Nathan Fay, for joining us today to discuss this important effort. Tune in next month on Thursday, May 8th at 8:30 a.m. on KSJD for the next episode of The River Trip. To learn more about Dolores River boating advocates and issues involving the Dolores River, please do visit our website. And I would like to do a shout-out for the Dolores River Festival fundraiser and Telluride Film Festival event at the Dolores Community Center tomorrow night from 5:30 to 10 o'clock. Check it out. It'll be a great time for a good cause. And thanks for tuning in today. See you on the river.